أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It is the night of Ashura, the night of Aza, the night of mourning, night of Tawbah, night of repentance. As it was mentioned repeatedly that the day of Ashura is no less than Laylatul Qadr. In Laylatul Qadr, you can leap and get to your destination fast. And such is this day of Ashura. Laylatul Qadr, in this context, that if we bond with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, bond with his mission, bond with his aims, we will get to our destination. As it was mentioned, that hadith says, Safinatul Husayn awsa wa asra. Ship of Husayn is fast. Now all this massacre you see worldwide, why is it? There is something in this whole mission which hurts some people. Mission of Hussein is as such. Shaitan has stood against this entire mission in all forms, in all formats. As a result of this, we see what is happening everywhere. And this mission of Abu Abdullah never stops. Why? For this murder, for this killing, for this massacre of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, we find in the hearts of mu'mineen there is a heat which never cools down. Word of Rasulullah, no less than Quran. We see in the reports that we have the time where Abu Abdullah was living, and that is after Imam Mujtaba, 10 years. Throughout these 10 years, the number of ahadith that have been reported from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, being the grandson of the Prophet and the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa, only 270 ahadith have been reported from Imam Husayn in 10 years. That is, every year 10 sentences were reported from him. How Imam was deprived, not allowed to be active, not allowed to preach, not allowed to teach. That is zulm, that is oppression. How come someone who has been appointed by Allah to guide, not be allowed to guide? So why were the Imams alienated? That is what inshallah we will be talking about tonight. Looking into the lives of Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, they were the best, the purest, the most knowledgeable, the most worthy, greatest. Every virtue was present in them, the most noble of their time. The highest character they possessed, no wrong was seen, no flaw was seen in their a'mal, in their actions. Despite all this beauty, people abandoned them. Why? Why were they alone? The question is, what are the factors that result in man distancing and moving away from awliyullah? Instead of us helping the Imam, why do we distance from him? And this can be seen in dua iftitah, for example. We recited throughout the month of Ramadan every night, word of the 12th Imam. We said, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. That is, God, we desire to be in the rule of the Imam. Now what happens in that rule? Tu'izzu biha al-Islam wa ahlah. That is, Islam is given izzah, is given dignity, and the Muslims. وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَهُ. A rule wherein hypocrisy is defamed and the hypocrites. وَتَجْعَلُنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّغَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِكَ. That Allah, you make us among those who invite to your path, to your obedience. So why was Imam left alone, alienated? Because there were not people to be with him. Abu Abdullah was invited. So many letters were written to him, inviting him. But when he came, no one was there. Imam sends Muslims. So many people were there. But when he turns back after his prayers, he sees just a few in that mosque. When he comes out of the mosque, even those few, none were there. No support was there. That is alienation. How these pure personalities, the noble, were left alone. Wahid Behbahani is one of the ulama that we have, one of the best. Once in his lectures, which he had in the month of Ramadan, after his lecture, he says, Allah, I ask you not to send the Imam so soon. Someone present in that majlis, he stood up, he says, what is this dua? We've been asking Allah, wa'ajjil faraja, to hasten his return, all these duas. What kind of a dua is this? Why did you do that? And he starts swearing at this alim, one of the best and the greatest mujtahideen he was. And then the khadim, the caretaker of that mosque, he stood up and said, look at us, all these years we've been praying behind this guy. And he's praying for the Imam not to come. Rolls his prayer mat and he is out of the mosque. This alim is hurt. Comes to his house, shuts the door. And in the morning, there's someone at the door, banging the door. He's upset. He says that it might be the people of this town. They want me out of this town. They want to kick me out. He doesn't open the door. The khadim says, I'm sorry, open the door, I've got a message. Then says, what happened? Last night you rolled my prayer mat, you kicked me out of the mosque, and I was hoping that you want to kick me out of the town, you are here. He says, what you said was right. I had a dream this morning and I saw that Imam al-Asr has arrived. And I'm serving him. The first thing Imam says that you, that caretaker, this rug that is in your house, it's not yours, it's ghaswi. You haven't paid the khums of it. Roll it, give it to me. Then says, this house you are living in, there is some inheritance issues. It is ghasb, it is not yours. Walk out. And then he says to the Imam, it was better where you were. Our lives without you are safe, are better. Then he says that what that alim said was right. We are not prepared. We are not ready. Why are we not ready? We are not practicing what we have been asked to practice. Many a times, du'as that we have regarding the return of the Imam, they may not be true. So we have to look into ourselves. Riwayat say that, and this is something which we look back into history during the time of Prophet Isa, Prophet Musa, Abu Abdullah and Hussein, Muslim, everything, it was the same. People they invited, and when they came, they were alienated. They were left alone. Prophet Musa's birth was hastened by 70 years. Bani Israel, they were in great torture of Fir'aun. The noble, the ulama of Bani Israel, they prayed. As a result of the prayers of Bani Israel, Musa was born earlier by 70 years. And when he starts the mission and when he invites people to Haq, to righteousness, Bani Israel, they stand against Musa. So a nation who longed, who waited for Prophet Musa, ended up as such. They bowed down before that Samiri. Riwayat, they say that in the end of time, God forbid, you and me, who are waiting for the Imam, when the Imam arrives, will write that we don't need you, we don't want you. Because it is going to be a tough time. Tough time in this aspect that justice of the Imam is great. Haq has to get to Haq, batil has to be ousted. So one of the factors which plays a part in Imam being alienated is people, they distance from awliyaullah, distance from awliyullah. Now, if you look back into Karbala, we find that many people, they came by the doorstep of heaven and they turned back. Among them is Tirmah bin Uday. He sees that this Karbala is coming into existence. Finds out, meets Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Imam says, you want to join us? He says, I've got this grocery to deliver to my wife and children in Yemen. I'll deliver that and come back. And when he returns, he finds that everything has ended. Karbala has already taken place. Imam has been martyred. Now this Tirmah came to the doorstep of heaven, came to the door of Abu Abdullah. Invitation was extended to him. He denied, he declined for whatever reason. So we have to prepare ourselves. We find that there are personalities like Zubair, for example. Zubair, he was good during the time of Rasulullah. Services which he has provided are amazing. At the age of 15, 16, he spies for the Muslim against the enemies. And no one would do that dangerous job at that very young age. We find Zubair that when Amirul Mu'mineen is attacked in Medina, that is taken and dragged into the mosque, after the door being bashed on Hazrat Zahra Salamullahi Alayha, we find the first one to stand in support of Amirul Mu'mineen is Zubair. He takes his sword out and says that, will this be done? And we are alive. And in one of these meetings, Rasulullah, he says to Zubair, how much do you like Ali? He says, I love him. I'll do whatever for him to protect him. And Rasulullah says that a day will come that you will stand against Ali, you will oppose him. And it happens as such that in the Battle of Jamal, Amirul Mu'mineen comes and says that I want to have a word with Zubair. And in that meeting, they thought that he's coming here to kill him. He says, no intentions of killing anyone. I just wanted to remind you of what Rasulullah had said 30 years ago, that a day will come that you will stand against me. So someone who had that beautiful past had a head-on collision, devastation, and all what he had was lost. So gradually people, they become faithless. Or in other words, how shaitan lays traps before us, that slowly he ousts people off track with attachments, with attractions, etc. And this doesn't happen all in one go. Shaitan works in a beautiful way, very beautiful. First of all, he comes up and makes us careless. That is, all that importance we give to deen, he slowly makes us careless. Now, what example shall we give? That whatever example is given, for example, if we take into the consideration the clothing that we have, clothing has to be decent, reasonable. We'll come up with an attire, may that be for boys, may that be for girls, for men, women, which doesn't look good, which is not befitting a Muslim attire. So initially we'll come up and say that you are covered, There's nothing wrong in this attire that you have. So when he makes us careless, the next step is that he creates doubts in our minds. That why should you be covered? What if you are uncovered? Now we have to start fighting these doubts created by Shaitan. Initially he made me careless. Then he created all these doubts. And the third stage is that he says, deny and reject. What is all this? We can put it away. First namaz, if we don't say it 5 times a day, doesn't matter. If it's qaza, we can make it up later on. Or creates doubts that why should we say these many prayers every day? So someone who has stepped into the stage of carelessness and then doubts in his mind, the third step, which is the easy ones, he will deny it. She will deny it. Which is what he does. And he is successful also in these missions. Or sometimes we find that these negative qualities, he makes them, he plays in a way that these qualities are promoted. For example, ranks, positions, riyasats, wealth, love towards these issues, jealousy. And all of that is bad, but slowly he works on these issues, and finally we find that we have become persons who have stood against deen, against realities, against facts, against ahkam, against the teachings of Allah. Sometimes he comes up and we are sinning and we want to repent. He says, don't repent now, wait for Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is great, you will be forgiven easily. Now someone who wants to repent in Laylatul Qadr says, why, what rush? On the day of Eid, we've got so many days left. On the day of Eid, we can't take a day off. Says, wait, day of Arafah is there. And day of Arafah, he will forgive you. Again, postponing and postponing, and then says, don't rush, we've got Ashura. So Shaitan works in that beautiful way that he doesn't allow us to be on track and to be firm. The other thing is by haram consumption, haram food, that if you don't know, you can eat. But if we are cautious, that is the best way. So any haram consumption that we have knowingly, may that be by the haram wealth or the burger itself or the meat which is haram, it has that effect. And Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura, he says that the reason why all these words of mine, message of mine, teachings of Rasulullah do not affect you is because your bellies are filled with haram. There was a question today, and that is, if we knowingly eat haram, it has that effect. What if we unknowingly eat haram? If we did not know, we went to some place and a food was given, it was not right. Will that have an effect? No, it will not have an effect. And over here also, we have opinions of ulama. One of them is Marhum Allama Tabatabai. He says that because it's going to have contradicting commands of Allah, that is, Allah on one hand says that eat everything what is halal. On the other hand, he says that if you have doubt in something which is halal or haram, ruling is that it is halal for you, you can eat. Now if we say that it was haram and we did not know and we ate, will it have an effect? It means that Allah is saying that if you ate that, it's going to affect you and that spiritual uplift of yours is going to be effective. It's two contradicting commands. One command says eat, the other command says don't eat. And that Allah will never do. So the ruling is that if you did not know, if you consumed, it is okay and it will not have that effect on you, inshallah. Now, Shaitan works in these beautiful ways. First by not allowing us to repent, by haram consumption, and then not having love towards good, towards noble, and that too is very bad. In our niyat, in our actions, we have to have that highest niyat, elevated action. In du'as, we have to seek the best. Aim has to be high. Quality of actions has to improve day by day. So how is Imam alienated? How is Imam left alone? Now the teaching that we have is that if we want to support the Imam, there is a pattern, a channel that has to be observed. That is, first of all, we be obedient to our parents. First stage, the alim in town, mujtahid, the marja we follow, the wilayat-e-uzma, the imam, the prophet. So that channel goes upwards. If we want to stick with the imam, we have to start with our parents. That is, if I respect my father, if I'm obedient to my father, it will be easier for me to obey Imam al-Asr. Why? Because Rasulullah has said, أَنَا وَعَلِيٌّ أَبَوَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. That is, me and Ali are the fathers of this nation. Imam al-Asr is the father of this nation today. So if I am obedient to my father, to my mujtahid, to my alim, to my marja, to my all these wilayat that Allah has created for me, it will be easy for me to obey the Imam. And if I am not obedient to them, any of them, then definitely Imam, when he returns, I will be disobedient to him. So there is no other option. So this relationship that we have with all these wilayat, they have to be corrected for us to be able to be with him, so that he also is not alienated. Bani Umayyad, they created many conspiracies. Now even so that this haq and batil becomes difficult for us to judge, which we see today, it's not so easy. Many a times we find that things are shown to us and we think it is haq, when that is not the case. Most of the time it is kalimatu haqqin yuradu bihil batil. That is, they show it as haq, intentions are batil. So things, they are twisted, they are diverted, they are changed for us. And the designer of all these conspiracies was that foundation stone laid after Rasulullah. Designer of all these conspiracies is Bani Umayyah, who played a role in deviating mankind in every possible way. Now we, our Imam is ghaib, is away. Why is he ghaib? One of the names which Imam possesses is that ghaib. Ghaib, this title was never given to any ma'soom, any Imam, only Imam al-Asr. Does he not deserve to live freely like you and me? Why does he have to live a life when he is away from everything? Why should he be living a life hidden? Ziyarat that we have, ziyarat for Friday, we read that. That Imam, he is away, he is ghaib, and he is afraid, he is scared. Why? Why should the Imam be afraid? When Allah has said that all the might which all the prophets has been given to him, then why should he be like that? That fright should be there. Fright in this aspect that he cannot be in one location, he has to keep on changing locations. That is because of that ghaibat of his. And this ghaibat of the Imam is not something which Allah has imposed on him. It is we who have imposed this ghaibat on the Imam. There were not sufficient people to support Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was killed. There were not sufficient people to support. The luckiest of all the ma'asumeen is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, who has 70. Many of the ma'asumeen, they didn't have anyone. Imam al-Sajjad has only 4. Amir al-Mu'mineen has just 4 who he could rely on. People, they came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and they said that, why don't you rise? Why don't you fight? It's your right. He says, okay, tomorrow, all those who want me to rise, all those who are ready to support me, shave your heads and come to my house tomorrow with your swords ready. Out of those hundreds and thousands of people, only 4 came, just 4. So Imam was alone. So we read in our du'as that تَجْعَلُنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ تَعَاتِكَ. That Allah, you make us among those who invite to your obedience. We have to do something that we be the supporters of the Imam. Being supporters of the Imam is not just sitting and praying for the Imam. It should be as such that whatsoever he wants, I should want. Whatsoever his desires are, should be my desires. So being with Waliyullah in this world and the hereafter, it's one of those beautiful qualities, wishes, desires, du'as that we have. And for that we have to try and resemble the Imam to whatever is our ability. And if that resemblance is there in character, resemblance is there in performance, we find that we are closer to him. We talked about Ma'asumeen being the reflection of Allah, and if we want to be with them, we have to be a reflection of Ma'asumeen. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That if our claim is that we love them, so we have to reflect them, we have to be a reflection of theirs. And this bond that we can have with Ma'asumeen, it's beautiful. If our desire was to be with them, we will be with them. This book written by Marhum Abbas Kuchani, he says that, he writes his own life after death, it's regarding Barzakh and Qiyamah, says that it's all these mukashifat he had, which are supported by riwayat, says that when I see myself and it's my first day in Barzakh, there I find someone comes and says to me that Habib ibn Muzahir wants to come. And before that he says that all of these ziyarat you had to all of the imamzadas, that is the family of the imams, they want to pay a visit to you. Because these visitations that we have to Ma'asumeen, they don't go waste, they are paid back to us. They don't keep us waiting. For that reason, we are told that to pay visits as much as we can to the family members of Ma'asumeen and to the Ma'asumeen themselves. He was very happy that in Barzakh, in his grave, when he's all alone and there is no one with him, they want to come and pay a visit to him. And then says that Habib ibn Muzahir comes to him, says that, I've got a message for you. Upon seeing Habib ibn Muzahir, he's very much happy. Says, what is that message? Says, message is from Zainab al-Kubra. She has extended her most personal and sincere salams to you. And she has said that we haven't forgotten you. Services which you provided to us, all of that is safe. It will be given back to you. You will be rewarded in the best. Says, all these discreet tears which you shed for us, we know that. It's all safe. It's all saved and preserved. Mourning that you had for my brother Hussein, all that is safe. And then he says that I in Barzakh with Habib ibn Muzahir delivering this message, suddenly I see there are two young lads wearing arms, swords, hanging down around their waist. And he says, I asked Habib, who are they? Habib says, one is Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas and the other is Ali Akbar. He says, do you need to be armed in Barzakh? Habib says, no, you don't need to be armed in Barzakh. The reason why they are armed is that because they wanted to serve the Imam of their time, who was Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Life did not suffice, they couldn't serve as they wanted to serve. They are waiting for the Imam to arrive and for them to arrive from Barzakh and in support of the Imam of time. So someone, their desire was that they wanted to be with the Imam. Their desire remained with them in Barzakh and their desire will be fulfilled when the Imam of time returns. And that is what we read with تَجْعَلُنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّغَاتِ إِلَىٰ تَعَتِكِ. That our desire has to be sincere, has to be true. That is God, in this night of dua, in this night of repentance, we ask you to help us. If our niyat are not sincere, are not khalis, you correct them. We want to serve the Imam. We want to serve his noble cause. We want to be with him. If there are any drawbacks in our performance, in our a'mal, in our actions, in our niyat, you correct all of them. And then says that وَتَرْزُقُنَا بِهَا كَرَامَةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And the same thing is what we learn in this Ziyarat Ashura, that is being the soldiers of the Imam, so that Imam is not alienated, Imam is not alone. What we say in Ziyarat Ashura, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ, that is, I ask Allah who has exalted me with your ma'rifah, وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِ الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مَعَكُمْ, that is, Allah who has exalted me, dignified me with your ma'rifah, and who has dignified and exalted me by knowing who your enemies are, we ask Allah that He makes us with them, that He enlists us with you, that is, Aba Abdullah, where? Fid dunya wal akhirah. Not only in this dunya. My desire is that I be with Hussein here and in the hereafter. That is what we wish in Ziyarat Ashura. So wilayat has to be known. Imam has to be known. His representation has to be known. We find that being with the Imam, it's not easy. We have to train ourselves such that no matter what the command of the Imam is, it would be easy for us to accept. We have to train ourselves to obey. If he says stay, we have to stay. If he says leave, we have to leave. If he says leave, we don't say that we love you, we want to be with you. No, if he says go, you have to go. If that example was mentioned, the person who was saying his prayers in the presence of Rasulullah, Rasulullah calls him. He continues, calls him second time, third time. And then when he finishes, he says, did you not see me, Ya Rasulullah? I was saying my prayers. Rasulullah says, prayers, obedience comes first. I taught you prayers, you have to obey me first. Or if you look into this, looking back into history, when it was after the Osman was killed, here instructions of after the second Khalifa, people, they come to Umar and say that, what do we do after you? Who will be the third Khalifa? He says, six people, the best here in Medina, you will take them, shut them in a room, in a house. And my vote will be with one of them. And then he says, out of these six people, for whosoever they vote, he will be the Khalifa after me. And if it was a draw, my vote is with one of them, he will add his vote and that will decide who the Khalifa after me will be. Here, it was a draw. Umar's vote was seen and then Imam Ali was selected. Here they come up and say that Ala kitabillah wa sunnati nabiyye wa Sunnati Shaykhain, I extend my allegiance to you, Ya Ali. Imam Ali, he pulls his hands back. He says, Ala kitabillah, accepted, that is upon the book of Allah. Wa sunnati nabiyyah, also accepted. But if I was to be the Khalifa, then I don't abide by the sunnat of Shaykhain. It is going to be my teachings, not their teachings. And then in one of these meetings, Umar, he comes up and says that, Ali, do you know that why you are a loser all the time? He says, why? He says, you have to be very political. You are blunt. Whatever you want, you say so quickly. You don't play with words. When someone asks you something, you just say it there and then quickly without any hesitation. Amir al-Mu'mineen, what he does is that he quickly brings his fist in front of Umar's face, opens his palm and says, how many are they? He says, five. He says, why did you say that so quickly? Why were you not slow? You should have played with words, thought a little bit, and then you should have said five. He says, I know they are five. It's five fingers. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, the entire creation of Allah is like those five fingers open in front of your face. So it's tough. Not easy to be with the Imam. The knowledge which they possess, it's flawless. The actions which they have are flawless. The love which they have towards Allah, towards the creation, it's immense. And all of that. Or for example, we find in these teachings of Ahlul Bayt that to be with the Imam, what do? We have to ask Allah that we know Him first. Allahumma arrifni nafsak. Here Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that recite. Says that recite this dua as much as you can. That is, Allahumma arrifni nafsak. Allah, make yourself known to me. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي نَفْسَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ رَسُولَكَ. If I don't know you, I will not know who your Rasul is. And then says, if I don't know who your Rasul is, I will not know who your Hujjat, your Imam is. And if I don't know who that Imam is, ضَلَلْتُ عَنْ دِينِي, I will be misled. So this channel has to be observed. We have to know Allah, we have to know Rasulullah, we have to know Waliyullah, who the Imam is, and only then will we be safe. Now, this dunya, which Allah has created, has a wali, has an Imam. That Imam is ghaib, that is unseen, away from us. It's like a heavy, thick cloud between us and the Imam, which does not allow us to see the Imam. Not that he doesn't exist. So when we say that Imam will return, it means that cloud will move away and Imam will be present. But there are people, for them this Imam is present just now. That is, that ghaibat does not exist for them. Because of their purity, because of their goodness, the access between them and the Imam, it's already present. But for us, it's the other way around. Because we are bad, because of the contamination that is in us, that ghaibat exists and that cloud is there. Here hadith says that وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ لَا تَخْلُو مِنْ حُجَّةِ اللَّهِ. This land, this earth, it is never empty from the argument, the hujjat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then says, if it was that case, then you would find this entire creation would collapse, would perish without Him. The reason why we don't see Him is that we are blinded. Why are we blinded? Because of our wrong. The wrong we do, the sins we commit, this disobedience that we have, that disobedience of ours is a hijab, is a barrier. It is that ghaibat which is between us and the Imam. Otherwise, Imam is always there. As-salamu alayka ya hujjat Allah allati la takhfa. That is, salam be upon that hujjat, the argument of Allah, who is never hidden, who is always present. If He is not present, if He is hidden, that hidden is me, the barrier which is between me and Him. Or what we read in Dua Najba, أَيْنَ بَقِيَّةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي لَا تَخْلُو مِنَ الْعِتْرَةِ الْهَادِيَةِ. So Imam is there, and many a time we find that Imam is alone. The reason for him being alienated and alone, it's our performance, our a'mal. Now in one of these, one of the ulama in Najaf, he had this desire to see the Imam. For 40 weeks, he comes to Masjid-e-Sahla, has the A'mal, and it was the 40th week. He was waiting, hoping that this is that week I have to meet the Imam. And those who are sincere in these A'mal, they get to their destination also. He was informed that go to that marketplace and Imam is present there, you can see him. He comes to that market, there is a shop of a locksmith selling locks, repairing locks. Imam is present in that shop. Imam says to him, stand and just look, just watch. An old woman, she enters into the shop. That old woman says, has a lock with her. She says that, can you buy this lock of me for 3 riyals, 3 dinars? He sees it and says, it's worth 7. I'll buy it for 6. So that 1 dinar for me and 6 for you. She got extremely happy. She says, I've been running around the market to every shop. Everyone said 1 rial, 1 dinar, 2 dinars, and many of them said it's not worth at all. 6 is a lot more than what I want. Imam says to that person who was waiting and had those amal to meet the Imam, that if I had a few of these people, like this locksmith who is so good in his amal and actions, then this ghaybat also would not exist. And then he says, in this entire marketplace, this is just the one person who I can trust, I can rely. This concept of 313 that we have, 313, it is those most purified people who will be present to serve the Imam. That is obedient, blindly obedient. Whatsoever is said to them, they will do it. So we have to correct ourselves that what should we do? If we want to be with the Imam, if we want to be with Abu Abdullah, فَالْحَقُّ مَا رَذِيْتُمُهُ وَالْبَاطِلُ مَا أَسْخَدْتُمُهُ. That is, haqq and batil has to be taken from the Imam. Whatever they like, I should like. Whatever they hate, I should hate. It shouldn't be as such that if I am told that Imam is there by the door and he wants to come into my house, I say, just wait for a few minutes, I have to hide a few things and then you come in. That is bad. So, whether he be present, whether he be away, I should be the same. Whatever he has taught, that has to be that. All this a lesson to myself first. And then says, well, ma'roofu ma amartum bih. If I want to know what ma'roof is, what good is, that good is what he has commanded, what he has instructed. So deciding what good and bad, I can't decide. I have to see what Imam says. If Imam says this is good, it's good. If he says it is bad, it is bad. Wal munkaru ma nahaytum an. Munkar, evil, is what he says. If he says something to be bad, if he says you have to rise, you rise. If he says you don't rise, you don't rise. If he says eat, you eat. If he says don't eat, don't eat. Now, if you look into the performance of the ashab of Rasulullah, for example, Salman and Abu Sa'd, here we find that ja'ala hawahu hawa amir al-mu'mineen. That Salman was such that his intentions were the intentions of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The reporter, he says that I saw two footsteps in the ground, in the earth. And at a distance I see there are two people. And he says that if there are two people over there, it should have 4 footsteps on the ground. How come it's just 2? And then he says, I was so cautious, I saw that Salman is walking behind Amir al-Mu'mineen so careful that his feet are in the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen, not ahead, not behind. So this is simple. We can also try and do it. But then says, Ja'ala hawahu hawa Amir al-Mu'mineen. That is, whatever the desires of Salman were the desires of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Whatever he wished, he wished. Whatever he wanted, he wanted. Now, Imams, we find that as a result of this bond, excessive bond, if we have excessive love we have towards them, it means that excessive obedience is also there. The more the obedience towards the Imam, the more we benefit. And even if we have this obedience lesser, still we benefit from them. Because for the Shias, it was mentioned repeatedly that Ma'sumin, they say that يَحْزُنُونَ بِحُزْنِنَا. That is, when we are upset, they are upset. When we are sad, they are sad. When we are happy, they are happy. When we are hit, they are hurt. When we fell down, they say, ouch. That beautiful bond that is present between us and Ma'sumin. Or for example, in Nahj al-Balagha, if you look into, there we find that Rumaila is one of the ashab of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is ill. Says it's Friday and so many days I was at home and I couldn't do anything. The best thing I can do today is do a wuzu and go and say my Jummah prayer. Says that he performs his wuzu, comes to the mosque, says his prayers amidst the khutbah that was being delivered by Amir al-Mu'mineen. He starts shaking, shivering. Khutbah was ended, salat also completed. when the last person to leave the mosque was Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then Rumaila also, he was ill with that fever temperature. He also comes. Imam says that, Rumaila, I see you, you're not really feeling well. He says, yes, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I wasn't well, I had this temperature. And then Imam says, ya Rumaila, laysa min mu'minin yamrud illa maridna. Says that, Rumaila, there is no mu'min in this entire creation. When he fell ill, we also fell ill with him. وَلَا يَحْسُنْ إِلَّا حَزَنَّا. When he is sad, we are sad. How are we sad? بِحُزْنِهِ, by his grief. وَلَا يَدْعُوا إِلَّا آمَنَّا. Says when he raises his hands for a dua, Imam says, we say Ameen to his dua. That is, Imam and a mu'min. And he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And today it's the Imam of age that he prays for us. He is hurt when we are hurt. He is happy when we are happy. Then says that, Ya Rumaila laysa yaghibu anna mu'minun min sharq al-ard wala fi gharbiha. Says, doesn't matter where this mu'min is, in the east of this land or the west of this land, everyone is present before us. We know them, we see them. And Quran says, now we have riwayat in our books which say that Babu Ard al-A'mal, A'mal are presented before the Imam. Some say that it's once a week, some say twice a week, some say once a day, some say twice a day, once in the morning, once at night. Quran says, it is not as such. Between us and Allah and the Imams and some of the Mu'mineen, it's a live connection. Whatever is happening now, it's before them, they see. If we are doing wrong, it's in the presence of them. If we are doing good, that too is in their presence. So we have to be careful that what we do, if we want the Imams not to be alone, not to be alienated, it has to be as such that what we are told is what we have to do. Now, we find that in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, Zahra salamullahi alayha, she was, it's after the shahadat of Hamza, the Prophet's uncle. And it was her it was her program that she used to come to the grave of Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada and she used to cry. And this is this tasbih sabha that we have. The pioneer or the first one who to create that was her. She made that with the earth, with the dust of the grave of Hamza. The reporter, he says that, I saw her, she was crying by the grave, and I was just waiting for her to complete whatever she was reciting, pleading, crying. And then he says, when she was done, I come to her and I say that, Rasulullah, did he not clearly mention what is going to happen to this wilayat after him? His successor? Who will be his successor after him? She says, were you not present in Ghadir? You want something more clear than that? He had mentioned who his successor will be. And then she quotes this hadith. Says, Mathalul Imam Mithlul Kaaba. Says, Imam is like Kaaba. That you have to go to the Kaaba. Kaaba doesn't come to you. You want to be a haji, you have to travel all that way, come to Mecca, circle round the Kaaba and perform tawaf. Kaaba will never be brought onto your head and circled and you become a haji. Says, for you to be with the Imam, you have to go to the Imam. So we have to go to the Imam. And how do we do that? That is, if there is anything wrong in us, any corrections, all that to be corrected, and automatically we are with the Imam. And the beautiful thing that we find over here in one of the sayings of our sixth Imam, he says that, لَوْ أَدْرَكْتُهُ لَخَدَمْتُهُ أَيَّامَ حَيَاتِ. That is, if I was to meet the Imam of age, that is our sixth Imam, He is the great grandfather of our 12th Imam. He says that if I was to meet the Imam, if I perceived the Imam, I would serve him for the duration of my life. So he is waiting for the Imam. And that is what we are also waiting. We ask Allah that on this night of Ashura, night of Aba Abdullah, keep us firm on his path and make it as such that we be in the service of the Imam in this dunya, barzakh and qiyamah. It is the night of Ashura. Things that can be mentioned here. Thirst of Aba Abdullah, his household. Heat of that day. Or what we find in Maqatil, that when Aba Abdullah, he breathed on that day, he bled from his armor. That is, so much he was wounded that when he inhaled, when he exhaled, blood seeped out of his armor. We find that Maqatil, they say that when Aba Abdullah looked at the sky, it was as if just smoke, all smoke around him. Now, to understand all these phrases that we have in Maqatil, we have to elevate our understanding. We have to elevate our ma'rifah, our knowledge. What exactly happened? Why did it happen? Why was the Imam alone? Why was he alienated? And the more the ma'rifah of an individual, the better he will understand. And the better it's going to be and easier for him to shed a few tears for this noble household. The higher this ma'rifah, the higher the understanding. And one of the phrases that we find in Maqatil is that Dakhalat Zainab bint Ali ala ibn Ziyad. Says that Zainab, the daughter of Ali, she entered into the courts of Ziyad. Now this one sentence has nothing to cry. But we find that great personalities, when this phrase was recited, he says, stop. That one sentence for me, for us to cry, is sufficient. Why is that sufficient? Zainab, the daughter of Ali, the granddaughter of Rasulullah, with all that dignity, honor and might, she be brought into the courts of Ibn Ziyad. That is a disaster. Zainab, who is all hijab, who is all chastity, she be dragged into the streets and be entered into that court of that mal'oon, that is a pain. So depending on the ma'rifah on an individual, we find that people, they cry and they shed tears for Aba Abdullah. Muhammad bin Bashir Hadrami, one of the companions of Aba Abdullah, on a night like tonight, he is informed that his son has been arrested. Aba Abdullah comes to him and says that this allegiance, bay'at, which is my right, I take it away. If you leave, you are free. You will not be questioned on the day of judgment. Go, save your son. He says, if I do that, I would prefer to be eaten by beasts in the deserts and leave you alone and alienated. That I will not do, Ibn Rasulullah. All these days I waited to serve you, and now you are asking me to go away from this heaven? I will not do. Beautiful companions Aba Abdullah has. When he turns the light off on a night like tonight and says that, leave, not one left. And when he inquires and asks them, he says, one after the other, they stand and say that if we were given a life, we were killed 1,000 times. Each time killed into the worst killing, 1,000 pieces. Brought back to life, we will still stay with you, Ya Aba Abdullah. Imam to his companions says tonight that tomorrow is the day of Shahadat and we will be killed. Qasim, son of Hassan, he steps forward and says, uncle, will I be martyred? Imam says, how do you see death? He says, ahla min al-asad, sweeter than honey. And then Imam says, you will be martyred. In addition to you, Abdullah Radi Ali Asghar also will be killed, Qasim. On a night like tonight, what Imam does is that he instructs his companions to make a trench behind the camps and says, fill these trenches with timber, with wood, with all these thorns that you have in the desert, so that tomorrow when there is an ambush, and tomorrow when these enemies will attack the household and the tents, we set it ablaze so that at least it would take longer for them to come and hurt. And this idea of Imam did help, and the enemies, they were away for a while. We find that on a night, that on the day of Ashura, one of the wives of Imam Abdullah is Rabab. She has two children. One is Sakina, which she loses in Sham. One of them is Ali Asghar, who is killed, or the last martyr on that day of Ashura. And on the 11th of Muharram, that is after Ashura, we find that the enemies, they come and say, come on, mount the rides. Now, who is remaining? All the women and children. From among the men, it's Sajjad alayhi salam, our fourth imam, says that the back carriage of these animals were prepared. And because they wanted to hurt Ahlul Bayt the most, no rugs, no cushions in these back carriages, so that when they are seated, they are hurt a lot more. So women and children, they are seated. Imam Sajjad also is tied onto one of these carriages because he is ill, for him not to fall and also be hurt. The women, among them is Rubab. She wishes that because we are setting off from here, we are all captives, arrested. You want to take us wherever you want to take us. Wishes that take us by the bodies of the shuhada so that we say farewell to them. They accept, wish was granted. They are brought by the bodies, and there, upon seeing the shattered, broken bodies of the shuhada, they were restless. They couldn't be seated on those carriages. They throw themselves onto the ground. Everyone starts pleading. Everyone starts crying. Now we find that Zainab al-Kubra, she comes by the broken, shattered body of Abu Abdullah, headless. She kisses the veins of the neck of Abu Abdullah, says, بِأَبِ الْمَهْمُومِ حَتَّى قَضَى بِأَبِ الْعَطْشَانِ حَتَّى مَضَى. And upon seeing the cry of Zainab, friends and foes, all of them, they start crying. So much so that even the enemies, they start crying. From a distance, Zainab al-Kubra, she sees that Imam Sajjad, he's restless, disturbed. Leaves Abu Abdullah and comes to the Imam of her time, Imam Sajjad, and says, Sajjad, why do I see you so much disturbed? Says, how can I not be disturbed when I see the bodies of the best of the creation of Allah be shattered, broken, and into pieces, and pounded under the hooves of animals. Now, one of the shuhada of Karbala is the 6-month-old infant of Abu Abdullah, son of Rabah, Abdullah bin Radi Aliyya Asghar. No one was left. Here, Abu Abdullah, he says, Zainab, Hal min Thab bin Yazubbu an Haram Rasulullah? Hal min Yughithin Yarju Allah bi Ighathatina? Is there anyone to help? Is there anyone who wishes to step forward? And then he says that, Zainab, give me my infant, Ali Asghar. And then says, maybe I would be able to get a few drops of water for him. Brings the infant, holds him, says, Ya qawm, in lam tarhamuni farhamu hadha tifl. Says that, if you have no mercy on me, at least have mercy on this infant of mine. Ama tarawnahu kayfa yataladha atshanan. Says that, don't you see that how he is restless, desperate, thirsty, says that Imam, he bows down to kiss Ali Asghar, and before he kisses him, the arrow of that mal'oon lands onto the neck of Ali Asghar and kisses the neck of Abu Abdullah. Maqatil say that فَذَبَحَ الطِّفْلُ مِنَ الْوَرِيدِ, and the infant was sliced from one ear to the other, or مِنَ الْأُذُنِ إِلَى الْأُذُنِ, from one ear to the other. So what Imam does? Says, Zainab, hold my infant. And then with his two hands, collects the blood that flows out, gushes out from the neck of Ali Asghar, throws it to the sky. Imam Baqir, he says that then that blood never fell down. Imam says, هَوَّنَمَا نَزَلْ بِهِ أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنَ اللَّهِ, that this is easy for me to bear, because whatever is happening in the eye is happening in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Know what he does? Nanni si khabr khod ke asghar ko gaad ke shabir ut khade huwe daman ko jhaad ke. Maqatil, they say that he digs a tiny hole and there he buries Ali Asghar. And then Ihtijaj writes that Imam, he digs a grave, buries Ali Asghar behind the tents, and then says, Laytakum fi yawm ashura jami'an tanzuruni, that I wish you were there on the day of Ashura to see me. Kayf astasqi litifli fa abaw an yarhamuni, how I was pleading for water for my son, for my tifl, for this infant, فَأَبَوْا أَن يَرْحَمُونِي, and they denied to have mercy on me. وَسَقَوْهُ وَسَقَوْهُ سَهْمَ بَغْيٍ عِوَضَ الْمَاءِ الْمُعِينِ, and how did they quench his thirst? With an arrow that was shot onto him. گفت کی قوم روح پیکر امین است, گفت که این قوم روح پیکر امین است. Says this Ali Asghar of mine that you see in my arms is my soul. ثانی حیدر Ali Asghar امین است, it's the second Haydar Ali Asghar of mine. On Hame Asghar Budan Akbar Amin Ast, says if you want to know who reality he is, says all these martyrs you see here in Karbala, all of them are small. Akbar Amin Ast, the greatest sacrifice of mine is this Asghar of mine. Hujjat Kubra Yeruz Mahshar Amin Ast, the greatest argument of mine that I can present before Allah is this Asghar of mine. O kebedin kudaki gunah nadarad, says that this infant of mine has no sin, hasn't done any wrong. Ya kesare razmein sipah nadarad, nor has got that might to fight these enemies. بلکه بس افسرد است آه ندارد, how feeble he is, how weak he is, how dehydrated he is, that even when that arrow was shot onto this Ali Asghar, he couldn't sigh. Says بلکه بس افسرد است آه ندارد, جای دهید آن کرا پناه ندارد. Someone who has no shelter, help him. پیش کسی ایزد مرید کیفر اکمل, هرمل اشتیر کین ران به حلقوم, حلق او را خز هرمل. He shoots this arrow towards Asghar, and that arrow of that mal'oon lands onto the neck of Ali Asghar. گفت کی قوم روح پیکر امین است, ثانی حیدر علی اصغر امین است, آن همه اصغر بودند اکبر امین است، حجت کبرای روز محشر امین است. الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. الهي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها، يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم احينا حياة محمد وآل محمد، وامتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد، وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد. اللهم عجل في فرج محمد وآل محمد. ماتم حسين.
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.